I want you to turn your Bible with me to Isaiah 33. And we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to partake of your word tonight. Give us the wisdom we need, the understanding, guidance. And Lord, let us be able to rightly divide the word with truth. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. You may be seated. I want you to look at Isaiah 33, beginning at verse 5. I remember a few series back, Apostle was teaching about the fear of the Lord. You remember that teaching about God's fear. I'm not going along that line, but it marks apostles' ministry. If you look at that fifth verse, and we're going to read down to the sixth verse, the one I really want to get to. It said, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelling on high. He had filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And here's the verse I want to get to. And wisdom and knowledge should be the stability of the times. I almost park right there because that's the role of an apostle in this season is for the stability of what? Of the times. Now, ever we need stability, we need it right about now. Yes. You agree with that?
Yes.
We got a lot of things going on in the world system, in the demonic world, and the apostle is setting some foundation down that we need.
Yes, sir.
And these foundations, I don't know about you, been fortifying me,
yes,
been fortifying my family. And I tell you what, this might sound like a strong statement, but I don't know if I want to be, I don't know if I want to live without having an apostle in my life these days.
Yes.
Almost like you're saying, I don't want to live without the Holy Ghost. Well, apostles that led by the Holy Ghost are put you in direction and put you in places you can't get by yourself. You see, we can't get here by ourselves. I don't care how much revelation you got. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you study the Word of God. You can't get here by yourself. Some people think they can, but you can't. And we can prove it over in the Word over and over again. So my point is that apostle assignment is to stabilize us during these times.
Yes.
And we do need stabilization. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Thank God for apostle.
Yes.
Thank God for the first family.
Yes.
Now, I want to turn to another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. This scripture here, I've used this scripture many times in my life. Because I understand so much as you walk with God for a little while, you learn more and more. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
You don't make the same mistakes you used to make.
Amen.
Don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians, what I said? 1 Thessalonians 5. Give me a moment here. And verse 12. Look at this scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. To do what now? To know them which labor among us. And what else it say? And to esteem them and to labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you. He said to know them. Well, my point going is to know them. To know who's over us in the Lord. Now Hebrews use a word people don't like to use. Hebrews 13 and 7 talks about submitting yourself to them that have the rule over you. People don't like that word rule. Rule. He's ruling us. In another word, go with that word rule, is sometimes use the word control. It said, ain't nobody gonna control me. But let me tell you this, though. Y'all wanna know this?
Yes,
and I believe this with all my heart. from the bottom of my heart. And I put my whole life on the line with this. See, what do you believe? I believe when you really get to know your spiritual leader, to know them like you're supposed to know them, you'll be willing to follow them blindly. See, people don't like to hear that either. That's a strong word, huh? Follow somebody blind. Don't you follow somebody blind. You better keep your eyes open, child. You know, people tell you that because they don't understand spiritual things. But as you begin to walk more and more in spiritual things, and you learn the art of submission and learn the art of walking in obedience, then you understand that you follow your spiritual leader as they follow Christ. Yes. And I heard Apostle say something, and then Reverend Leroy Jr. said something. He repeated it. He said, Apostle said years ago, I want to train you so well. Yes. Y'all can finish that statement on. That even if I mess up, make them, that you know it. Yes. Now, what leader will tell you that? Right. Ain't no leader in their right mind will tell you that. But a leader that following truth, a leader that living above reproach, a leader that's full of integrity. See, that I'm describing apostle. A leader that have no skeletons in the closet. A leader that submitted to God on a daily basis. I worked for the ministry for some years. And I didn't mean to go this route, but I'm here now. I worked for the ministry for several years, 20 some odd years. And during those years, you know, we get to work, and Reverend Esther can associate this more than I can because he spent a lot of time at Apostle's house. Always, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Always seeking God.
Yeah.
Always spending time with God. So you never lose the reverence for him. I mean, he's at the house. I mean, you know, he sits on the porch. And I was telling somebody the other day, I had to find a neutral gear. You know, when you, in the more cars, you have to play with that shift. A lot of y'all know what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about old standard car. You had to play with that shift till you find the neutral gear. And then you take four of the clutch. But when I would be at Apostle and I'm walking on the porch, and he's on the porch, and I'm walking past the porch, no, you don't be, hey, Apostle, hey. No, you just walk reverently, and you find a neutral gear.
Yes,
what kind? What you mean a neutral gear? A gear where you don't vex him?
Yeah.
A gear you don't pull him out of the spirit? Don't say nothing crazy?
Yeah.
Don't even think nothing crazy?
Yeah.
Hope you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See, apostle is very sensitive in the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to get to know them that labor among you. That's what I'm trying to get. You got to get to know him. So over the years, I learned how to walk around him. Without pulling on him,
yeah.
Without taking him from where he's at with God,
yeah.
Because I know what he's doing is he's spending time with God for our lives.
Yeah.
I hope you understand what I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah.
Can we live without our apostles? Yes, you can. You might not live as well.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Because he's giving us divine instruction.
Yeah.
That I don't think you get too many places. I know I try this now. My wife and I were driving, she had a minister. I said, turn that off. It's affecting my righteous soul. He's talking and have no instruction, no direction, and you're trying to teach him the Holy Ghost. Say, oh, man, he's just messing people up. Because they don't want to submit to no one. Now, that was a little side story there. But let me get to my lesson now. But my point is, know them that do what? Labor among you. Know them. Now look, now I did some marital counseling for a while. Now this don't sound like good with my lesson, but you just stick with me. And when a couple would come in the office and a pastor had put together a workbook on premarital sessions. And the first question in that workbook, I would propose to the couple, and it would say, do you know the person you're going to marry? Boy, and they go laugh, they lay back laughing because they say they think they know the answer, you know. You say, yeah. I said, let me tell you something. It takes a lifetime.
Yeah.
Can any married people agree with that?
Yeah.
It takes a lifetime. Just when you think you know him, there's something you wasn't expecting. It takes a lifetime to know the person that you either about to marry or married to. It takes a lifetime because you're making new discoveries every day. So if you think you know him, you've been fooled. After you've been married for a little while, you begin to get some wisdom and appreciate the differences in your mate. Yeah. It's not a negative thing, but it's a good thing. All right? Now, I don't want to stay there too long. But my point is, it takes a lifetime to know your apostle. You see where I'm going with this now? Now, here's another mistake people make. And I think the high majority of the body of Christ had made this mistake. See, what's this mistake? I'm about to tell you in a little bit. This mistake is that over in the realm of the spirit, they never made a decisive decision concerning the man of God. All right? But turn your Bible with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 19. Some of you know this story by heart. But I love this particular scripture because it taught me so much over the years. I made this decision, I want to say, almost 40 years ago. When I first began to learn my apostle. You know what I say? I didn't say follow. I began to learn. I like what Bishop Dan said during the meeting. He said he fasts on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he don't do nothing but listen to apostle all day long. And he studies him.
Yeah.
I caught that word. He said he studies apostle. Yeah. He said he even watch the way he walk.
Yeah.
He studies him.
Yeah.
And Paul said, imitate me.
Yeah.
As I follow Christ. It's all right to imitate the spiritual leader.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about no foolishness,
yeah.
You know, trying to mock or nothing. No, I'm talking about be like him.
Yes.
You see it?
That's good.
Be like your spiritual leader.
Yeah.
And one of the ways to be like him, and you know, I retired about a year ago, and I said, Lord, and I can sit on my front porch like my apostle. I get so excited with my Bible, and I can study. Like my apostle, you know, and you don't know the feeling I get because I'm being like my apostle.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
I hate you, brother.
It's just something that I always wanted to know what it was like.
Yeah.
He spent all day with God sometimes. And I said, God, I said, no, I'm not all the way there yet because I still got to cut my grass and wash the car and do all this other stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But in 1 Kings 19, you're going to see something here. 1 Kings 19, now that's a little story behind it with Elijah. Now, I'm going to read 1 Kings 19 and 3. See, Jezebel was a wicked woman. And Jezebel told Elijah, because he had slain all the prophets of Baal, she said, this time tomorrow, I'm going to do you just like you did those 450 prophets of Baal. Then the Bible says Elijah ran for his life. Great man of God. Ran for his life. Killed 450 prophets and ran from a crazy woman like Jezebel. It didn't make no sense, but we're talking about spiritual things here. Spiritual things are different.
Yes.
You see? And then he had made a statement, he was the only one left. So he got to preserve himself. You know, he's going, because God, I need the prophets, I got to preserve myself. So he ran for his life. But look over in that third verse. I want you to see something, and I hope you catch it, because I read it many times, and then it took me a long time to catch it. Let me find this, the 19. Let's see. In verse 3. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. It said, and when he saw that, saw what I just got to tell you about Jezebel and all that, and when he heard that, he arose and went for his life. You see that?
Yes.
Elijah, the great man of God, went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah. And this last statement here threw me, Paul loop. And instead, and did what? What did the last Paul say? And left his servant there. Now, it's going to make more sense after we read some of these other scriptures that the servant Elisha or Elisha made a strong statement in his plow field commitment. And that's what I want to talk about, making a plow field commitment. And that's my point was, most Christians, I want to say 80% of the body of Christ, it's a high percentage, never made a plow field commitment when it comes to service or serving the man of God or following the man of God or submitting to the man of God. They never made that commitment. And we're fixing to see this commitment here in this 19th chapter of 1 Kings, beginning at that 19th verse. Now, remember that statement in that third verse. He left his servant there. Might not make much sense right about now, but as we go, you're going to begin to see exactly what's going on here. Look at that 19th verse here of 1 Kings 19. It said, and he departed thence. See, you got to almost read the whole chapter. But what he did was God gave him some instruction to anoint certain kings. And two kings told him to anoint. And then he said to anoint Elisha, who's going to be prophet in thy room. Or he's going to take your place when you leave. Elisha was going to take Elijah's place when he leave the scene. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So God had given him these instructions here. And this 19th verse said, and he departed thence and found Elisha. See, found Elisha or Elisha. He found him because he was looking for him. God particularly called Elisha's or Elisha's name to the prophet and told him, this is a certain man I want you to find and he's going to take your place. Could it be God is looking for people that he can anoint? And I always found this out. You know, I always found this kind of strange. Over in the New Testament, when Jesus always found his disciples. They never really found him. They never really chose him. He chose them. I don't know if that makes sense. But God always choose you. Sometimes, why I'm saying that, sometimes we choose ourselves. And God ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm about to say stuff. Sometimes we call ourselves. And God said, I wonder why they put that little... I wonder why they did that. But you got to be careful when you come to spiritual things. Jesus always found his disciples. He found Peter and his brother. And then he found all the disciples, really. Come follow me. That's what he said. Follow me. Follow me. So Elijah found it, man. I don't want to park here too long, but I'm trying to pull out some stuff here that you can see exactly where we're going here. So he found Elijah, the son of Japheth, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, I want you to know that 19 verse, that last part. Elijah passed by him, cast his mantle upon him, it don't stand, but he kept going. You see, he did exactly what God told him to do. God didn't have any instruction for him. The only thing God told Elijah to do was, you just put your mantle upon. Now, I want to tell you something particular about this mantle. You see, that mantle represents that anointing that was upon Elijah.
Yeah.
And you know, the clothes, you read the New Testament, you find out that a lot of the apostles, their clothes, Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood, his clothes were stacked with the anointing. Your material can carry the anointing. Yeah. Handkerchief can carry the anointing. So my point of this is that Elijah cast his mantle upon him And that's the anointing came upon Elisha when that happened. Because you're going to see the next verse, you're going to say he ran after Elisha. Now, you got to discern some things here. And sometimes people don't discern anointing. Now, when this mantle fell upon him, something happened to Elisha. And I want you to notice how he responded here. And sometimes, if you're not careful, we will respond the same way. And that response might not always be right. That response sometimes got to be corrected.
Yes, sir.
I hope you follow me close.
Yes,
now, look. And he passed over him and cast a mail upon him. And he left the oxen. And what that next word say? He did what?
Ran
after Elijah. Now, the Lord told me this some years ago. He said he ran, but he ran without a revelation. And a lot of times people run. The anointing hit them, they'll run without instruction, without a revelation, or why they're running. They don't know why they're going. The prophet didn't tell him nothing. He don't know why he ran after him. See, he just got excited because that anointing makes you excited. Sometimes you run when nobody behind you. Anybody else have ever run? When that anointing hit them, something happened here. And so look what happened here. And he said, and let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. You see, you know whose instruction that was? That was his instruction. That was his idea. That was his soul was saying this to him. This one would do.
Yeah.
It was his plans. See, that wasn't necessarily God's plan for Elisha. Let me go first kiss my father and my mother, and then I'm gonna follow you. It sounds good. But that's not what the totality of what God trying to get to him here. He was missing something. He was missing something that the prophet recognized and had to put in him. Yes, he was. I remember some years ago. You don't mind taking a little side trip, huh? You see, the apostle was preaching in the prison ministry years ago. And I'm sitting in the van with him, in the back of the van. I'm on the left side, he on the right. He studied, always studied. And I had this great vision 2 weeks ago about me being called to preach the gospel. Man, this thing was burning my heart. An apostle sitting down and he studied. I said, we call him pastor then, but he always was apostle. I said, pastor, you look at me? What, son? I said, I believe I'm called. You look at me? You're not called. and that was the end of that conversation. Sometimes less said, the better. Yeah, that was an apostolic word from the Lord. I'm talking almost 40 years ago. It's a long time ago. You see it? And so, now, down the line, after God gave me confirmation, he said, son, I knew it. I just couldn't call you. You see, he helped me. But you know what I did? I did with this prophet here. See, that's why I went there with that little science story to show you what this prophet had this Elisha to do. You see it? Now, let me read on now. And he said, let me go and pray thee, kiss my father and my mother. Everybody see, that was his plan. Then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, the Elijah said this unto him. You ain't called. But that's exactly what it said. Go back again. Go back again. For what have I done unto thee? Now this statement here saved Elisha's life. Amen. Go back and assess, and go back and assess what happened.
Right.
You see, this is not between you and me.
Yeah.
See, sometimes people think the call to follow is between them and the apostle, but between them and God.
Yes.
Then the apostle. You see, you got to get this thing in line. Sometimes people think the decision is, oh, I'm just gonna follow apostle, you know, but they leave God out. Yeah. You can't follow apostle without God, you'll be messed up. Yeah. Now, watch here now. So God has to allow him to get by himself. Go back again. And when he went back again, I know the Lord talked to him just like he talked to me some years ago. And the first thing, I'm not calling this a voice of scripture, but I know how God functions, you know, with spiritual things, something. And so one of the questions would be is, who told you to follow him? You see it? Because he put a mantle upon you. That's why you're following him. You see it? I had a couple things I wrote down. Yeah. Who told you to follow him? And why are you following me? Who told you and why? Some people never ask those questions. Why am I following? Why am I a member of World Life Christian Center? Who told me to come here? Why am I here? Now here's another question I like. What am I going to do when things get rough? You see, because look, Elijah, it wasn't always ice cream and cake following the prophet. Elijah was a rough man. He wasn't an easy man to follow. He probably didn't even talk to Elijah half of the time. But nevertheless, he had to decide who told me to follow him. Now, I'm asking all these questions because sometimes people never put themselves in this position to know why am I here in real life. Because sometimes things get a little rough. Apostle makes some changes, just like the choir. Apostle do some things that the Lord tells them to do, and they don't know him. Like they should. I'm not saying they don't know him, but like they should. He's always trying to get something in the spirit to another level. Always trying to obey God to take us to another level. So we can get another taste of God. My goodness. Here's another question. Are you going to bail out at the first fire? Some people do. See, that's the story behind that. What happened, the prophet, the servant always followed the prophet. See, even though we read the story about Elisha, we never see the servant with him. Most times the servant is the unseen help. You see, most times servants are unseen help. He made the prophet look good. Servant always made the leader look good. And so every time the prophet is mentioned, then God might not have the servant mentioned, but he was there. The servant always went with the leader. Always. And so this particular time here, one of these kings, King Ahab, got a little beside himself. No, it was King King Hezekiah, fell through a lattice in his roof, and he went a choir of Beelzebub, one of the gods. Was he going to recover from his sickness? But God talked to Elijah. He said, "Go back and tell him that he's going to die, because he act like there ain't no prophet in Israel." And so he get upset with Elijah, and he sends 50 men. With the captain over them, Elijah had put himself on a hill, and they said, "Come on down, the king wants you." He said, if I be a man of God, let fire." That's why I said, "What you can do with the first fire? If I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume you and the 50." Yeah. And sure enough, the fire came down and slew them all. My point is, this servant was with them. This servant, he saw this. Now, what kind of man is this? Called fire down from heaven and killed 51 people at one time. I don't know if I want to follow a man like this. You see, sometimes apostle might say and do some things we don't understand. If you don't understand, you might bail out at the 45. Oh, I can't follow that man. But I'm saying it, but when you get to know your spiritual leader, know the one that got a rule over you, you know he's always following God. And finally you get to a place where you say, blindfold me, I'm following the apostle. Amen. I trust my man of God. Yes, sir. I trust my man of God. Yes, can I tell you another little story?
Yes, sir.
I was going to tell you anyway. But look, years ago, when I hadn't come here yet, this is part of my testimony. I don't think I ever told this testimony. And I told my brother to teach me about Jesus, because I found I didn't know Jesus. My brother was preaching. My brother Donald was preaching the gospel. And he would come to Mount Zion to Bible study with apostle. And that was my first visit. We come from a family of preachers. And they didn't always do right. You know what I'm talking about? They didn't always live. Y'all know what I'm talking about. These old preachers didn't live right. And I said, my God, anybody living right for the Lord? And it would turn me off about preaching. Matter of fact, it kept me out of church for a long time. And so I go to Mount Zion. I'm sitting in the pew with my brother. And apostle stopped teaching. I'm talking about way back in 82. He stopped teaching. And I think he was talking just to me. He said, I got one girlfriend and one wife. They're both the same person. I said, that man can't be telling the truth. I said, all them preachers got a woman. Because that's what I, anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not criticizing people, but I'm just telling you what I experienced. And to this day, apostle still the same. Yes, the same man I met 40 years ago. The same person today. One woman and one wife, and they both Miss Callum. Thank God. He told a story about the barbershop. That your wife over in God's, but my goodness. Now who wouldn't follow a man like that?
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, I'm still sticking with my point here now. And so we're talking about people of integrity. A man of, not just a man of integrity, a family of integrity.
Amen.
The whole family full of integrity.
Yes.
Perfect? I didn't say perfect. I said integrity. Always willing to do what's right.
Yes.
Always. Jesus was the only one that was perfect. And so, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Now, he went back and assessed them thing. And now, I'm going to say this. Now, whether you agree with it or not, you search the scripture, but when God talked to him, I'm willing to say this is what God told Elisha, or about Elijah. When we're talking about running after him and go back again, I'm willing to say this is what the Lord said. As long as I live, as long as his soul live, I don't want you to leave him. I call that the plow field commitment. As long as I live, how long God live? God live forever. He said, as long as his soul lives, I don't want you to leave him. Say, how do you know he said that? Because he's going to rehearse them very same word in the next few chapters that we're going to go to.
Come on, brother.
When the Lord sent him to Bethel.
Yeah.
Elijah made that statement. I don't think he just got that statement right on the spot. I think he's been rehearsing that for years. When God first talked to him, the Lord told him, as long as the Lord. See, I made that statement years ago. Well, I stumbled upon that scripture. God have you stumble upon things. You don't know why you're stumbling upon things. I see the same thing. I say, Lord, as long as you live, as long as Pastor lives, I will not leave him. I made that statement from my heart, and I meant it with all my heart, soul, strength. Didn't understand everything. But I made a commitment, an irreversible commitment to not Not the pastor.
Yeah.
I didn't go say, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm always here with you. I see people have been saying that for years and where they at? Yeah. I'm with you, Pastor. And then they got this little y'all mommy saying this. They got this little excuse. The Lord told me my time is up. How the Lord? The Lord might be confused. Because God always call people to a lifetime commitment. If anybody go, I think they ought to be sent. Because everybody I see in the scripture was sent out. 13th chapter of Acts. What happened? The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have designed for them. But I talked to a man one time. See, I don't mean to take all these little side stories, but they go with my lesson. If it didn't go with my lesson, I wouldn't tell you. And I'm not making this up. I talked to a man one time, or the man talked to me. And the man said, God is sending him out to go do some work. And I said, let me tell you something. And I didn't know the little bit I know now, but I made this statement to him, and he was more old than me in the Lord. I said, listen to this. I said, the Lord told me to tell you this. Long preparation, long service. Long preparation. Wow. See, sometimes people think they're ready, but they ain't ready. Because the Lord ain't said nothing to the apostles yet. That's how I know they ain't ready. Well, they say, God know when you're ready. See, I'm preaching against ministry? No. But all I know is, over the years, I get this testifying night. Over the years, I've never called myself anything. You know, some people say, I'm this, I'm that, I'm evangelist, I'm pastor, I'm teacher. I never call myself anything. I don't know what I am. I just do whatever God says to do. And most people don't understand that. They get caught up. Let me show you this right quick now. My time is moving so fast. You know why? Look what it says here. And he returned, the 24th verse, he returned back from him, see, after God talked to him, you see, and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore their flesh and the instrument of the oxen and gave it unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and did what? Minister unto him. See, people, when I see people I'm talking about, sometimes they get the anointing mixed up. See, that's always two anointings. This first anointing fell, it wasn't for the prophetic office. The mantle they laid on the Elisha in the field, it was the anointing to serve. People miss that anointing because they don't like that anointing. They can't be seen in that anointing. They can't be heard in that anointing. They can't get a lot of applause and a lot of pats on the back in that anointing. Because it's a hidden anointing. Serving is a hidden anointing, but it carries great benefits. People don't understand the benefits that serving creates. See, we're going to always have to be a servant no matter what you do or what you think, how high you get. You're always going to be a servant. Jesus said, no man is above his master or the servant above his Lord. You're always going to be serving somebody. I don't care how God promotes you. Always going to be serving somebody. And so he went and ministered unto him. Some people kind of, you know, the scholars, the theologians kind of confused on how long the service was. But I know it wasn't a little short period. Because he spent some time with the prophet. And God put him in position where he was able to learn some things. Yes. He was able to observe some things. And now you watch close enough, You if you just look any kind of way, you're going to learn something. You see it? You see it? You're going to learn something if you want to learn something. You see? And so another point I need to bring out, God never told Elijah why he was following him. He never knew he was going to be a prophet in Elijah's place. God didn't tell him that. He was just serving because God told him to serve.
Amen.
Without any, I'm going to use this, these two words, hidden agendas.
Amen.
Sometimes people serve. Well, I'm not trying to teach a sour message, no. But it's coming out anyway. Might be a little sour, might be a little sweet, but it's coming out anyway. But you can't have any hidden agendas. Ministry can't be a leaping board. You know, you get connected so I can use drop a name to go preach in somebody's church. Oh yeah, I attend Word of Life Christian Center. Apostle Leroy Thompson. Well, you come sit right up to the front then. We know apostle. And you get some nice position because you're connected with his ministry. Yeah. I bet any one of you all go to any Lord's ministry and they find out you were an apostle, they're going to give you a front row seat. Yeah. Yeah, they'll do that. But that's not the purpose of it, though. You see it? That's not the purpose. Thank God for it. A connection, you see? But that's not the purpose all the time. You see? And an apostle is bringing the church back into alignment. See, the church been way out of alignment. Even this, what I'm talking about, has been out of alignment, and then the people trying to follow, but they don't know how. And the apostle is doing it by example. And see, in all these churches in LTMA, they're some blessed churches.
Yes.
Those that are connected, they're blessed churches because they're taking a hold of what the apostle is doing. And it's not, these two words I used earlier, it's not control. And it's not rulership. You see it? It's connection. I'm going to use the word, I'm make words like apostle. It's connectionship. You see it? And you got to have that. You got to have that to be in alignment. I was in the mechanical field when I was in the plants before I came work full time for the ministry. And I understand, when the apostle talk about alignment, I understand it so well. Because we work around a lot of pumps and gears and stuff. And you had two components you're trying to make it at one. You see, sometimes it would have more than two, sometimes it's three. And we have to go in and align these components up so precisely that it runs like one.
Yeah.
And any misalignment, guess what? Would tear the whole machine up.
Yeah.
It would cause problems, vibration, and then it never, and then it won't reach its full capacity. So when the church get out of alignment and this apostolic can bring the church back in alignment, it called the church and everything to run as one unit. And it runs a long time. I remember. Every time, I was particular, but when I rebuilt something at the plant and when I line it up, and I would go back like Apostle Paul. After Apostle Paul would preach to the church, he would go back and do a second missionary journey, third missionary journey. What I do, I go back and check my pumps, see if it's still running. Because I want to make sure I did it right. I want to make sure it'll last a long time. So sometimes in spiritual things, apostle will make sure we're doing it right.
Yes.
And that our life will live long and strong.
Yes.
But when you get out of alignment, you step into, what that word I'm looking for? When something don't run its full maturity, it don't run its full course, it don't last long like it's supposed to. You see it? You see it? Now, turn to 2 Kings, and we're going to show you exactly what I'm talking about here. 2 Kings. 2. Now, you almost got to read them on your own to really know what's happening here. But the Lord is about to separate Elijah, the prophet, from Elisha, the servant. He about to be promoted here. He about to be promoted. And it's three things you got to be careful of. You got to be careful of people. You got to disconnect yourself from people. You got to disconnect yourself from offense, because offense will separate you or disconnect you. People, and we're going to see where the people try to disconnect Elisha in a little bit. You see, they try to disconnect him. And so when they try to disconnect him, they will get him off of God's divine course. The enemy will love to get you off of God's divine course. Have you run some other course that don't amount to nowhere. And things. People. Offense. Yes, sir. And things. Ask Gehazi about things. In the 2 Kings 5. What's his name was a leper. What's his name? In the 5th chapter of 2 Kings. What's his name? I can't hear you. Write it down. But anyway, he was a leper. And the servant said, see, there's a man in Israel, a prophet, that can heal you of your leprosy. Yeah. Yeah. And then the king, boy, he sent a letter to him, and I can't tell the whole story, but what happened was, I got to find the man's name. Amen. Who? Is on the board? Read it for me. No. Yes, indeed. Naaman. I know the Naaman. Yeah. Lord Jesus. Naaman. Yeah, that's his name, Naaman. Well, anyway, Naaman didn't like the river that the prophet told him to go wash in. But my point was, his servant, after it was all over, the servant, Naaman wanted to bless him with treasures and suits of clothes. And the prophet said, not a time to receive. But Naaman said, I'm going to give me some of that stuff. So he went, caught up with Naaman caravan, and he got some stuff. And that thing separated him from God. Yes. Separated him from his authority. Separated him from the prophet.
Yes, sir. My God.
You see, I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times, you're not God's first choice. See, the apostle told me that a long time ago. He said, you're never God's first choice. God tried to use other people. But they reneged. And it failed the test.
Yes.
And God couldn't get to them or use them, or they couldn't run the full course and go the length of the duration or the full period of their ministry. People, offense, and things. You got to be mindful of those things. See it? So, he ended up being a leper. He took the leprosy that was on Naaman, came upon him. Now, in 2 Kings 19, no, 2 Kings 2 and 1. Now, I'm going to go through the first one, but I'm going to show you something here. I'm going to show you something. 2 and 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, no, I must have missed something. Yeah, I got it. He said, tarry here, I pray thee. No, know what tarry mean? You know what tarry mean. Stay here. Stay here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, I think he picked this up in a plow field in 1 Kings 19:19. As the Lord liveth, and as thou shalt, he was just rehearsing himself, I will not leave thee. So what happened? They went down to Bethel. They went down together. Now, it wasn't hard for him to say that because he had been rehearsed that, and God told him, I don't want you to leave him. It was a mandate from God. It wasn't something he come up with, I'm going to go kiss my father and mother, then I'm going to follow you after that. See, your own mind will lead you to the end of a road, but God take you beyond that. Yes. Now, let's go back to 1 Kings 19:3. I'm going to go back to this other man. I'm going to show you something here. 1 Kings 19:3. Now, what this scripture is going to show you is why this thing left me for a loop here. You're going to see something here. I'm going to read this again. 1 Kings 19:3. It said, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. I said, that servant should have had the wisdom and the understanding to know that as long as the Lord liveth, you see it? As long as our soul liveth. See, so he wasn't God's first choice. Elisha wasn't God's first choice. God couldn't use this man right here. Because the man didn't stick with his assignment. He stayed there. See, we failed testing and don't know it. He failed a big test and didn't know it. He stayed when he wasn't supposed to stay. Stayed on me and stayed. I've learned that through my life. You stay here. You better go. Anybody been serving a spiritual leader know what I'm talking about. You better not stay. Sometimes it's convenient for you to stay. I stayed one time. Watch what I did one time. And my heart smote me so bad, I didn't know what to do. I had been all day on the road. You know, sometimes the loved one, you know, go home and be with the Lord and members of the church. And I was with the family all day long in the person passed. And after we left the hospital, they went to the house. I went to the house with the family. And then, you know, that's all day. Everybody say all day. I had one of these headaches, you know, the headache so big, because I hadn't eaten nothing all day. And I was tired and I was hurting. You ever had one of them hurting, hungry, headache, and you didn't know what to do? Feel like your head was going to split open. You're just hungry and tired. I'm ready to go home. I love the family, but I'm hurting. Man, I need to go home. And just when I made my way to go, a pastor walked through the door. I said, oh, God. I said, what am I going to do now? I got a headache. My head feels like it's this big. And now I want to go, but I know I shouldn't go. You know, because now I don't want to leave my apostle there. I don't want to leave my, I've made my commitment before that, long the Lord lived, long as soon as I will not leave thee. And I knew that was the right thing to do. But I'm hurting so big, my head this big, feel like. And I said, it's all right if I go? Oh, yeah, so go ahead. I mean, it was so easy, it scared me, you know. And so I go home. I tell you what, that's the worst meal I ever had. I said, God, I should have never left my pastor. My heart smote me so bad, like part of me died. I couldn't get no relief till I had to go back and apologize. I said, Pastor, I should have never left you. You know, he said, oh, no, it was all right. But that was a test for me. Yes, sir. God put that, I just felt it. Man, I don't know if you know what I felt. I felt like some of me just, anybody ever experienced some of it? Yes, sir. Just a little taste of what I felt. Yes, like abandonment. Yeah. Yeah. And so I knew it was the wrong thing that I did. Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to. I didn't read it in no book nowhere. You know, never leave your spiritual leader when you come from the hospital all day long and you got a big headache. Stay there anyway. I couldn't read that nowhere. I had to learn that for myself.
Yes. That's good, sir.
Something you pick up on the road. You see, a lot of stuff you learn ain't no book. But that was it's always the Holy Ghost to teach you how to serve and how to follow. And so this man stayed. That bothered me. And he stayed. I said, Lord, the prophet was at the worst point of his life. This crazy woman behind him won't kill him. And so he's running because he's trying to preserve the prophet in Israel. Didn't find a God, so he had 7,000. Ain't never bowed to the prophet. But anyway, but his heart was in the right place. But the servant stayed. I said, how? I had a few choice words for him. I said to myself, that no count. I said, I just don't understand him. You see it? But then the Lord reminded me, you remember when you left? I said, yeah, Lord. But do you know something? These tests will come to you. If you're not aware of the test, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. And God always got training for you. It's all about not to make you feel bad. The Holy Spirit don't try to condemn you to make you feel bad. He tried to put a lesson in you that I never forgot all my life. Never forgot that lesson. Never. And so I had to learn that. Now, I'm about to close with this. I hate to close with a sour note. You say, all your notes been sour. No, but I'm telling the truth, though. Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Samuel had to go back and do something to Saul. I'm going to close on this one. Saul was the king. He started off right, but Saul began to get beside himself because he began to do great things. He used to inquire of God. He got to a place where he just started doing things without inquiring of God. And God told him, go slay the Amalekites and I'll destroy them all. And he saved the best of the sheep, the best of the cattle. And he, you know, it was all that about him. He wanted to parade himself in town, let people know that I'm King Saul and I'm victorious. And so God told Samuel to go tell Saul he did not obey me. And Saul said, yeah, I obey you. He said, what all this bleeding of the sheep in my ear? All this, the sheep, you know, the baying of the sheep and all this. And so that's where the scripture came up, obedience is better than sacrifice. But God said, I've told Samuel, I've rejected Saul because he stopped following me. I said, oh God, I don't like that. But Samuel loved Saul because that was the first king. And Samuel helped Saul throughout his ministry. Samuel loved Saul. Sometimes God had me do things as a prophet that you don't like to do, that don't feel good. He said, I rejected him. And then long story short, at the end of that 15th chapter, what happened was, the Bible said Samuel began to weep for Saul all night long. He wept for Saul because he loved Saul and he didn't want to see that happen. It hurt him. God made a statement to Saul, to Samuel. He said, you didn't reject him, I did. I said, whoa. You know, sometimes people get confused when an apostle makes spiritual moves and they think that's them doing it. But sometimes God said, Samuel, you didn't reject Saul. I did it. How long you gonna mourn for him? I rejected him, not you. So sometimes apostles do things. It looks like he's doing it, but God's doing it. And people, they bail out when they see things like that. They don't understand spiritual things. God do things through spiritual leaders, through prophets and apostles. That that sometimes the church world ain't ready for.
Right.
Most of the church world ain't ready for true apostles.
Right.
Because you're going to take it further than you ever been.
Right.
Live longer than you ever lived.
Yes.
Be richer than you ever had.
Come on, come on.
Take it to places that you most people just wish they could get to.
Yeah.
That's when you're falling right. Now, I'm going to close with this now. God said this to Samuel. I rejected him. And this is what people messed up at again. You know, you observe things sometimes. And this is another sour note. I've been putting out so many sour notes. I'm putting my people up here. Now, I'm saying things because it don't sound good, but it's true. You know, sometimes things don't always sound good, but it's true. Sometimes, the Bible said in that almost that last verse, 15th chapter, and Samuel went no more into Saul's presence. After God rejected him, what were you saying? Sometimes people separate themselves, and we still want to be friend and kin, and love him and hug him. And that, don't you know that contamination? Rebellion is a contaminated spirit. You don't think it's doing your home, but in most spirits get off on you. And I've learned over the years, I've separated myself from some people I thought was best friends.
Yeah.
I say, whenever you disconnect from an apostle, you disconnect from me.
Yeah.
Well, that's as far as I can go, but I hope I didn't say nothing too bad. But Father, we thank you so much. I think they heard you. They heard you.
Yeah.
I think they heard what I said in the spirit of love.
Yeah.
The apostle, Lord, we thank you so much for the office of the apostle.
Thank
we thank you so much for our apostle. We thank you, Lord, that we've gone places that we've never been.
Yes.
Lord, we're making this plow field commitment right now at the church. And now, if y'all don't mind, are you willing to say this with me? Say it. If you can repeat it, say it. As long as the Lord lives.
As long as the Lord lives.
Boy, y'all ready for this? As long as the apostle lives.
As long as the apostle lives.
I will not leave him.
I will not.
My goodness, you don't know, just know what you just did. You don't know what you just did. Now, Father, we thank you so much for Worldline Christian Center, that we are connected church. And Lord, we'll always, always follow after you and follow after our apostle as he follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. All right. All right. Time for tithes and offerings.